this week, a couple of celebrities. Now, I don't know why he doesn't follow some food chef and some fashion designer. But they, within a matter of a couple of days, they, in the prime of their life, in the prime of their career, they kill themselves. Now, this is not unusual. This is happening over and over again and all across the United States. People who are dissatisfied, disillusioned with life. And so I was listening to the news, and it was quite amusing, the theories about why people are so unhappy. I had the answer. I knew why they was unhappy. It was, a lot of it had to do with they didn't have God in their life. They didn't trust God, or they didn't trust God in their life. There's a lot of things, physical things like, well, you got a lot of unhappy folks because there's a lot of unhappy people in their home life, in their families, growing up broken families, and the whole works with drugs and alcohol and all the issues, single-parent families. And you've got a whole lot of people who don't know what it's like to be joyous. And then finally, I heard somebody say it on the news, and I was like, great. You find somebody gets it. Somebody understands that there is a hole in us that only God can fill. You can fill it with all kinds of other stuff in this life, but that hole can only truly be filled, and you can only truly be satisfied by God. You can pump as many out, much out beer and alcohol, as much drugs, as much sex, as much money, you name it. You can try to fill that hole up, but it don't do it. It's only when you fill yourself up with God. When a university student asked Billy Graham this, he goes, "What is the greatest surprise that you found about life?" You know what his answer was? The brevity of it. It's short. Life is short. And for some people, that life that they live is filled with regret. They did a survey and it came up with the top five regrets that people had. And the first one, it says, "I wish I had the courage to live a life true to myself and not what others expected of me." Another wish was, "I wish I hadn't worked so hard." You always wish that you'd spent more time with your family instead of working so much. "I wish that I had the courage to express my feelings instead of having them all bottled up just to say right what they were thinking and what they felt. I wish that I would stay in touch with my friends. I wish I'd let myself be happy. I wish that I'd had a happier life. As someone once said, if you look long enough in the mirror, you're bound to feel bad about yourself. Because you'll start finding that's the reason why I just don't spend much time in the bathroom, because I don't want to stand in front of that mirror. Too long. So catch up with it. Look, we got a lot of folks out there feeling bad about themselves, and I'm not talking about the lost. I'm talking about Christian folks. And this message this morning is for folks who know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Oh, it'll apply to the lost. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you've never asked Him into your heart and your life, you'll want some of this happiness that God wants to offer you. In the 10th chapter of John, Jesus talks about life and how it can be different for you and for others. So let's look at the very first verse, and we're going to read, I think, verses 1 through 11. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door, the shepherd of the sheep, to keep the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him." Why? for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things that they were which he spake unto them. Then Jesus said unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh, but not to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. He says, I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. We'll be focusing on verse 10 this morning. There's a whole lot of stuff in there. But I want to give you the context. I wanted you to understand this is Jesus talking. And he's giving a parable about only him. Through him can we have everlasting life. Only through him can we become his sheep. And there it talks about robbers. The thief cometh not, but for the steal and the kill and to destroy. We are seeing the thief in our midst. In our congregation, in our membership today. And what is it? The thief who robs our lives. There is nothing worse in his mind than to have a happy Christian. Because you know what happy Christians do? They draw people to Christ. You can be as pious and serious-minded and never smile, but that doesn't draw people to Christ. What draws people to Christ is the happiness that you have within you, that the joy that you find within you. In 1 Peter 5:8, we see the devil. He's one that robs us. It says, be sober, be diligent, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And he is doing that. Have you ever noticed on the shows, on the animal shows, they get kind of gruesome, don't you? Where the leopard or the tiger is chasing after the antelopes. You know what they always go for, don't you? The weakest link. The one that's running the slowest. The one that's wounded. The one that's hurting. That's where Satan goes. Boom. He's walking around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And he is assessing people's lives. He says, I think I could tear this Christian life all to pieces. And too often, we just let him. He lies to us. He tempts us to sin. He discourages us. He blinds us to the will of God. And now because of one Christian life that is messed up and Satan is devouring, he can discourage everyone else around them. Cause them to quit focusing on God and focus on the issues and problems at hand. He is the chief one that robs us of our joy. One that blinds us to the joy that we should have in our life. And then there's the false teachers. The false teachers. In John 10:8, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. These are people who claim to be Christians, who claim to have the joy, the salvation of Jesus Christ in their heart and their life. Now there were lots of false messiahs in the New Testament. And there are a lot of false teachers today. Now, you've seen the prosperity preachers. You've seen them on the television. They're out to fleece the flock. They are in sheep's clothing. Because all they're wanting is what? Money. And it's pretty obvious. But there are a lot of folks who are being deceived by it. And then there are liberal preachers who just won't believe the Bible. They'll pick and choose what they want to believe, but they don't believe all of it. In Matthew 7:15, it says, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravens and wolves." Then there are the pessimists. The pessimists. They'll say, "You can't enjoy life." Now, I'm going to make a plug for the blog on the website. If you have not read that, you probably need to read it. Not because I wrote it, because I think we need it. I know I need it. And it talks about, can a Christian be happy? Are we supposed to be happy? Or are we just going to live our lives in a drudgery day by day, year by year, just going, ba-da-da-da. You know what I'm talking about. Just dragging that ball and chain everywhere you go and never really enjoying a full and happy, experienced life. God has given us this life. And I'll tell you something. There are a lot of pessimists out there. When something good happens to somebody, they'll say, "But you know what? Around the corner, I'm going back. That happens every time. There's going to be something good. So I'm not going to celebrate the good. Matter of fact, I'm just going to come back and I'm just going to let this happen because I know something bad is going to happen. Got that promotion with you. You're probably with iron man." And it goes on and on. You have those people who just constantly are telling you, who want to discourage you and rob you of your joy by bringing up your failures. You'll never be able to do that. You know what the answer to that is? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. If God wants me to do it, guess what? He will enable me to do it. But no, we want to put everybody down. We want to say, "No, you can't do this, you can't do that. You're not supposed to do this." Remember the heroes in the Bible. They were not perfect. Noah got drunk. Abraham lied about his wife. Sarah laughed at God. Jacob was a deceiver. Moses murdered an Egyptian. Rahab was a harlot. Gideon was fearful. Jephthah was made a foolish vow. Samson had serious problems with lust and anger. Eli failed as a father. David was an adulterer and a murderer. Solomon married foreign wives and turned his heart towards idolatry. Elijah struggled with depression. Jonah ran away from God. Peter denied Christ. Paul argued with Barnabas. Barnabas compromised the gospel. James and John wanted special seats in the kingdom just for themselves. And all the apostles argued about who was the greatest. None of them were perfect, and neither are we. And guess what? We're not going to make ourselves any more perfect by pointing the finger at someone else and saying, "Look at what you've done. It does not make you look any better in God's eyes at all or anybody else's. It does not make you more holy. That's a thief that robs our life. I'll tell you. If you come to the worship service of God and you're told that you can't do this as far as worship, that you can't raise your hand, you can't say amen, you can't shout hallelujah, you say you can't show emotion, let me tell you something, you're being robbed. Someone is robbing you of worship. They're trying to take the joy away from worshiping God. And there are so many folks over so many years that have made it a point to do just that. To rob you of the blessings that God has in store for your life by discouraging you, telling you can't do something. Telling you that you're not worthy enough. Don't fall for it. There are thieves trying to rob you of your joy. We're not here just occupying space until the Lord calls home or He comes back. He wants us to enjoy every breath, every minute. He wants us to. Now, are you going to have problems? Yes. Are you going to have heartaches? Absolutely. Are you going to have issues in life? Surely. Can you do it? Peaceful, content life. Showing the world that you can smile and you can proclaim God during the midst of all those troubles. Instead of driving back at an ungodly world. God made a difference in people's lives. He used them. In spite of their failures, in spite of their faults. We don't need to be telling people that they can't do something. We need to be telling that God can help them do whatever He wants to do. In the next part of that verse, verse 10, we see it's the Lord that gives life. That God is the creator of life. It says, He gave His Son so that we could have eternal life. Eternal life. In John 10:28, it says, "And I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." I'm assuming that if no one can pluck them out of God's hand, then no one's going to be able to jump out of you. Okay? He's got you. If He's given you eternal life, you're never going to perish. And no one's going to be able to take that away from you. There are so many Christians today, even in the Baptists, who are not supposed to feel. If we don't feel saved, then we might not be saved. We just need to feel it. Doesn't matter what you feel. What matters is the fact that you've asked Jesus Christ into your heart and to your life. He says, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they'll never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." You can't lose it, and no one is going to be able to take that away. Your greatest joy in life should be the fact that when this life is over, I'm going to be with Him. That's the greatest joy that you can have. Now, I love my grandchildren. They're the greatest joy in my life. Right there with my wife. Some days more. But you know what? It doesn't hold a candle to the fact that when I pass from this life, that I'm going to be with God. I can face death and the certainty of it because of it. As a matter of fact, Paul, what did Paul say? For me to live
is Christ.
Sorry.
It's Christ.
It's Christ. But for me to die is what? Hey, Paul knew it. Paul was stuck in prisons. Paul was stuck. He was stoned. He was cast. He was thrown out of every place. He was shipwrecked, snake bit. I mean, the man had all kinds of issues. But what would we do? We find him with Silas in the Philippian jail. What was he doing? They were preaching and singing praises to God. And so Paul says, you know what? It'd be my best interest. In my best interest, if I just went ahead and was gone. But he wants me to live because it's in your best interest that I stay. Eternal life. I want you to get this. Eternal life does not begin when you die. But I can't wait to die because that way I can have eternal life. No! When you ask Jesus Christ into your heart, into your life, and He come into your life and He saved you, you have eternal life then. In 1 John 5:11-12, "And this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You want to have a life? You want to have life? Then you have to have the Son of God. You have to have it. It does not just begin when you die. So if you have this life, and you have this joy in your heart and your life that God wants you to have, you don't believe it, the 15th chapter of John, where he says, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even if I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. He wants your joy to be full, to where it's overflowing so others can see it. Quit letting this world say, well, I messed up, I can't be a good Christian. Stop it! I can't be saved if I messed up. Baloney! You still have the peace, the passive understanding, where? Down in your heart. There's a joy that God has given you, and God says, I want my joy to be full, and I want your joy to overflow. I want there to be abundant blessings. And it doesn't matter in good times or bad. Or if someone's telling you you're a no-good sucker. Doesn't matter. God knows who you are because you're one of His. You're one of those sheep. He that hath not the Son hath not life. So I want to talk about the abundant life that God holds for us. It is not the prosperity of God's life. If you will make a donation, we'll give you of $100, we'll give you this little prayer wheel, this little rug, and this prayer rug, and then you will be praying for you, and all those things will come back sevenfold. You give $100, you'll get 700 back. That's not what we're talking about. The abundant life. Isn't it the abundant life if you've got three or four cars, big house, lake house, big old boat, all the good things in life? Is that the abundant life? Well, to some it is, until you lose them. Don't you want something that you can't lose? That'd be yours forever? Something that's of value. You see, the abundant life is a gift from God. And Jesus said this to the Samaritan woman at the well in John 14. If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living. How would you have asked me for water, and I'm giving you living water, everlasting life? The word abundant. This is interesting. I did kind of a word study on this. The word abundant means exceeding, very highly, beyond measure. It can also mean he wants you to have a marvelous life. An extraordinary life. He wants you to have a remarkable life. He does not want you to live in the shadows, not enjoying life. He wants you to be out there in life, living a full life with Him at the center, showing His love as it overflows in your life. We are not to sit in our pews and just sit there and praise God, thank Him, amen, every once in a while, and then forget about it. He wants a remarkable life from each and every one of us. He wants a life that is full of Him, an abundant life. And if you have that kind of life, you will be happy. You can't help it. Why? Because it is the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, joy, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. If you're living a life like this, with the fruit of the Spirit exhibiting itself, can you be unhappy? Can you not? You will be able to overcome anything in this life. And you will be able to say, I don't know what's going to happen today. God, let's have some fun. Let's do something. Let's do something marvelous together today. Instead of, oh God, I can't get up and I can't get around. I just thought this day to be over. No, don't wish your life away. Think about the greatness of what God can do with you this minute, this day, this week. And the joy that you can have through Him. Adrian Rogers said this, God is not some cosmic killjoy. And every time He says, thou shalt not, He's simply saying, don't hurt yourself. How many times did we tell those kids to stay away from the pool last night? Was it because we didn't want them to have fun? No, we didn't want them to hurt themselves. And every time that He says, thou shalt, He is saying, help yourself to happiness. You are entitled. You are a child of the King. You do not have to live this life in misery. Even when things are bad and going bad, you do not have to be miserable because you can be content and full of His joy, knowing that all these things are temporary and that one day your salvation, your life will be made manifest. It will be fulfilled. It will be shown. And you'll be with Him. All those things that's worrying you now, all those things that you're hurting about, that you're worried about, 100 years from now, you're going to be with God. You're going to be with Christ. You think it's going to matter at that point? No, it won't. When you fail, it doesn't mean that you belong here. Means you have some hard lessons in your life. Remember that when we have people who fail in life. Sometimes those are blessings in disguise. Because we can't see what's ahead. Be careful to have freedom. We don't steal their joy. God's got a plan for it. It doesn't matter if you're a permanent loser. It seems like I've run across a few of those. Just a permanent loser. Sometimes I feel like that. It means you aren't as smart as you thought you were. But it doesn't mean that you should give up. It means you need the Lord to show you the next step. All right, Lord, here I've messed up big time. I don't know who's preaching or what to do. I got all these people trying to tell me how terrible a person I am. Savior like Jesus. He does not judge us by what we are, but by what we will be someday. He has destined us for heaven. No matter how many mistakes we make along the way, His grace is sufficient to cover them all. It's going to take the joy. It's going to encourage. And if we're in a place and a position in our life where we feel like it doesn't matter anymore, or I'm just not happy, and I don't know, I can't, I've just given up. Get real. You're a saved child of God. He loved you enough to send His Son to a cross to go through the humiliation of that and to give you eternal life. And it doesn't matter how bad a person you are, all the bad things you've done, He still does it for you, and you're going to sit there and tell me there's no hope. There's nothing. God's done it. Hold on. Got a plan. He wants your joy to be full. He wants your life to be full of happiness. He wants your life to be awesome. He wants your life to be productive. You know how I know that? Because when you are following God in His path and His will, and when He's divine, He grants you. Or that produce fruit. And when we produce fruit, it makes our life productive. May I suggest to you today, if you want to have your life, if you want to have a life that is full and abundant, no matter what the circumstances are in your life, I'll tell you, it's going to have to fill that whole up with Jesus. Quit filling it up with Jesus. Fill it up with Jesus. Let the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit come in and overflow into your heart and your life and show others. And when you start showing others, they start getting it too. And guess what? You're starting to produce fruit. And all of a sudden, you're looking back and saying, look at that garden grow. Man. All of a sudden, you have something in your life that's important. I can care less about all this other stuff in my life. Look what God is. Look what God is. This morning, if you're a saved child of God, would you quit letting Satan steal your joy? Would you quit letting other people take away your joy? Would you quit thinking that this life is just about you and understand that this life is about God? And would you understand that eternal, when you accept Jesus, Savior, eternal life is yours now to live out in this world until He comes and gets us. And He wants for you an abundant life. Marvelous, extraordinary, marvelous. Life is worth living. You see, life is worth living. It is for living, not dying. Some folks say we're just here to die. No, I say we're here to live. And to live abundantly. So can we start doing that? Let go of the things that are injuring us. Tell Satan to take it higher. Tell those who are trying to get you in this box of saying, well, you can't do that, you can't do this, in your worship, forget it. I'm going to worship my Lord. Spirit and in truth. So that you can have life and have more life. If you're here today, you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, may I tell you something? All over the world right now are saying, I got to have this to fill my life. I got to have this and this. And it just never satisfies. But if you can show them, if you can have Jesus Christ in your heart and your life as well, that hole will be filled with peace and contentment. Joy, He can make your life forever. So if you don't know what to say, you can do that today. Ask Him, say, Lord, I know. you know what his answer to? Well, I don't know. You may have to do something. You may have to do something really good. Is that what he's going to say? Or, boy, you really haven't come to church enough, so I don't know. Or, I heard how you were talking the other day. I've seen what you've done. No, he doesn't say any of that. He just says, come, child. Let me give you eternal life. Let me give you this precious gift. And he gives it. So if you're here today, if you don't think you're good enough, say you're working overtime on it. I'm telling you right now, you can't be saved. You're just not doing it alone. He can save me. He can save you. He can save Terry Simmons. He can save you. Right there. I ain't gonna talk about Mary Maul. But let me tell you something. If he can save us, he can save you. And would you come to him today and ask him? Because that's all you want right now. And so you can have a type of joyful, abundant, amazing life, fully knowing that when this life is over, our life continues with him. So as we stand, and we prepare for an invitation. I don't know your heart. I do not know your life. I just know one thing. You need Jesus in the center of your life to fill that hope. Whether you're a saved child of God and you're just putting the things of this world first, you're listening to Satan, you're listening to other people about your life, I don't know. All I know is God, he wants you to be happy. He wants you to be joyful. And the only way you can do that is through him. If you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ, your Savior, I'm praying right now that God is working on your heart. There's something on the inside saying you've got to come. You got to tell somebody. You've got to show them that God has saved you. Maybe you've done that already. Maybe you've asked, but you've never followed him in baptism. Well, he wants you to show the world. He's proud of it. He wants the world to know that you're saved. Maybe you're here today and you're just spiritually sick and sin. The joy of your salvation is gone. God can restore it. David asked for it. So this morning, there's all sorts of different things that God wants for us all. Different things that will kill our joy. Would you get rid of those things right now? So as we sing, would you follow God as he's talking to you in your heart?
Number 530.